good to be back. It's good to be back. I want to just say, before I dive into the sermon, I have a couple things I want to mention to you. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to my church, to my friends, to my family, my church family, for the strength and support that you've been for me this week. We've been through it's been a heck of a week for me. But I also know firsthand it's been a heck of a week for a lot of you. For a lot of you. What does the Bible tell us to do for one another? To pray for one another. To pray for one another. I want to do that right now. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you right in this moment. And as we mentioned earlier, Lord, there are emotions in this room that run the gamut from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows and everything in between. And Father, we know because your word tells us that you are there. You never leave us. You will never forsake us. That you walk with us even through the valley of the shadow of death. You comfort us. You are guide. You lead us to the still waters. You restore. You restore our soul. Lord, that's our prayer for ourselves today. Oh, that you would restore the joy of our soul, even in the bad times, Father. Help us to love one another. Help us to continue to shower one another with love and support. Lord, this is a good place. These are good people. Father, help us to be not good people, but to be the image of Christ on this earth. That's what you've called us to be. Christ is our example to follow Him. Father, help us to do that. In all of the ways, all of our ways, everything we do, everything we say, how we say it. Lord, help us. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I was not able to be with you last Sunday. And so, last Sunday's message was supposed to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. You know, we're going through the Apostles' Creed, and we've done, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Y'all believe that? Okay. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. You believe that? Okay. Last week was supposed to be, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Do you believe that? Is it important that we believe that? Okay. All right. And then this week is supposed to be, and he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and descended into hell. Now, I know that that phrase makes you go, what? Okay, and we're going to talk about that. That's why the music we had this morning was about the blood of Jesus, the suffering, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus. Because guess what? Do you believe that that happened too? Yeah. And I'm not preaching. We're using the Apostles' Creed as kind of a basis to go by, to walk through there. Because it's important not only to know what we believe, but to know why we believe what we believe. Okay? And so, well, I'm not preaching the creed to you, the saying that you have to follow this and this is as good as Scripture, because that's not the case. It is not Scripture. But it is kind of a summary of what's found in Scripture. Okay? A summary of the beliefs. Early on in about 390 AD, a group got together and said, we need to firm up kind of what we believe. We got some folks that are kind of scattered all over the place, and we want to at least create a statement to say, these are kind of the foundations of our faith. And that's kind of what we're doing. We're walking through that. So actually, I'm going to kind of monster mash those two messages together, because down the road, I've got it kind of scheduled out, and I need it to strategically happen at certain times. So we're going to kind of mash these together today. But why is it important to believe in a Savior who is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin? Okay? A lot of times we take a look and we go, yeah, I believe that. But why is it important that we believe that? And I believe first it's important to see that Jesus is God Almighty. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. He is God in the flesh. He's the second person of the Trinity. And I believe second, it's also important to see that Jesus was also human like us. You may think, you may wonder, well, why is it important that I believe in the humanity of Christ? And you have to understand, it's not one or the other. It's not sometimes he was God, sometimes he was a man. Or he was part God and in part man over here. No, the truth is, he is all God. And Jesus was all human too. Okay? You put 100% and 100% together and any other factors, you get a whole bunch more. Okay? But with Jesus, it can happen. 100% and 100% is still one single thing. It's not two separate things. Not flesh and spirit and like some people would teach. It's both. Jesus, or if Jesus was simply God, then we could not identify with him. Okay? If he was God on earth, we would have no way to identify with him. What we just experienced a few moments ago, baptism, that wouldn't mean anything because we couldn't identify with a God who gave sacrificially of himself, was crucified, buried, and rose again. We could not identify with that. How many of you want to be able to identify with a Christ who says you will be resurrected with me? I want to be identified with that. But if he was simply God, we couldn't do that. If he was simply human, we could not revere him as a Savior. He would be just as good as most of the other so-called Saviors or great prophets that walk the face of the earth. We couldn't really revere him as our Savior. In Isaiah, in chapter 7, verse 14, we read the following. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." You see, this was prophesied way before Jesus ever showed up on the scene in flesh on the earth. And I'm going to be careful how you understand that. Not before Jesus was, but before he appeared here in flesh. Okay? Because Jesus always has been. You see, there's the Holy Trinity, the God the Father and the God the Holy Spirit always has been in existence and always will be. And it's one. And sometimes we just, let me rephrase that. All the time for me, I can't wrap my mind around that fact. But I believe it. I don't have to understand it to believe it. But this last word in here, "and we'll call him Emmanuel." You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. How can he be with us if he's God? By becoming like us. Isaiah 9 and 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is God Almighty in the flesh. And I know this sounds like a Christmas message because these are the passages that we use at Christmas time, but it's foundational to our faith. Isaiah foretold it, and the Gospels recorded it. Isaiah prophesied about it. The gospel writers told of the fulfillment of the prophecy. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21 says this, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins.'" I need to be saved from my sins. How about you? He will save the people from their sins. No mere human can do that. No mere human can do that. Do we believe what the Scripture says about Jesus? Can we explain it? I hope not. I hope we can't explain everything about Jesus and everything about God. I hope not, because except to say that God is a miracle worker. And I love it when God just shows off and blows my mind. You know the commercial where the purple cloud comes out of the head? I love it when God just blows my mind. It just shows me once again, just when I think I've got it figured out, God just surprises me and says, you don't really have that much of a clue. You think you know, but you don't really. Let me show you a little bit of what you don't know yet. But every time He does it, I know a little more. And I want to know more. I want to know more and more and more and more. This whole story tells us about a God who is almighty. And He wanted us to be able to identify with Him in the beginning as in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Back before the fall. You see, Adam was created in God's image. God formed him. You know, when God created everything, He spoke it into existence. Let there be light. Boom, there was light. And it was good. Okay? And all these things He spoke. Boom, 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 boom. It was good. But when it came to mankind, He got His hands dirty. He got down. He said He formed him of the dust. And He breathed life into his nostrils. He said, I'm making this in my image. Where He wanted us to be able to identify with Him, like as in Adam and Eve. We can identify with Him because He became a man like us. But He was still God, unlike us. He made Himself lower. Get this. He made Himself lower so that He might bring us up higher. It's like this great chasm. And we want to be where He is, and He wants us to be where we are. It's like your children. They can't get up in the high chair by themselves. They want to be there because they know that's where the food is. So how do they get there? Now, eventually they learn, okay? And if you've had kids, you know that, and you have to tell them, get down till I help you. But until then, you have to pick them up, bring them up higher to get them to where they want to be. And that's the same with us. We can't get there on our own. You cannot get there by being good enough. You cannot get there by paying enough tithes to the church. You can't get there by saying hallelujah enough. Although I think that might help a little bit, okay? But I'm just saying, you can't get there by that alone. You can't get there by anything of your own accord. You have to have a rescuer. It's like the movie The Guardian. Kevin Costner, he's a rescue swimmer. Okay? There are people out in the ocean. They're doomed. They're going to become fish bait. Okay? Actually, fish food, because there's no hook. But they're going to become fish food unless somebody rescues them. And the helicopter swoops in and Kevin Costner jumps off with a life raft and he saves people. That's what Jesus did for us, folks. We were in the middle of an ocean, no land in sight, storms are blowing, and Jesus comes and He rescues us. But like a rescue swimmer, He can only save the people that want to be saved. I remember in lifeguard training, they taught us, if they're fighting you and combating you, you back off or you knock them out. Okay? But you... Somebody that's resisting to be saved is going to, it's just nearly impossible for them to be saved. I say nearly because God can do all things. Okay? He can take, if you just happen to be taking a stroll down towards Damascus one day, I read a story about this guy. His name was Paul. Actually, his name was Saul. He was strolling down to Damascus, going to go hunt down some Christians and hurt them and put them in jail and maybe even kill some. And God just got in His way and said, change of plans. You're not on my schedule, and you're about to be, hot rod. I don't know who you think you are, but I'm fixing to show you who I am. And when he found out who he was, Saul became Paul. So God can do that. He made himself lower to bring us up higher. The only way we can rise to the Father is through Jesus Christ, who was born like us so that we can be reborn like Him. Don't confuse what I'm saying with some false teachings out there that says that we can become like God. Okay? Because that ain't happening. This false teaching says that as God once was, we are, and as God is now, we may become. And that's just not in the Scripture. We're going to be a church that's based on what? The Word of God. The truth of the Word of God. Okay? You're not going to find that teaching in here. Okay? Because it's not true. It's not from God. Now, does God still want us to be good? Is God going to elevate us to a position higher than we are now? Absolutely. Absolutely we are. We're still going to be subservient to the Father for all of eternity. God is the only true God that ever was, who is, and whoever will be. We'll never be like Him, even in heaven. However, you don't get to heaven without Jesus. You don't get to heaven without Jesus. And part of believing in Jesus is to believe in the miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit and the virgin birth. I want to move on to this next section. Suffered under Pontius Pilate when he was arrested in the garden and taken. All this was also prophesied. He would be bruised. He would be, you know, all these things would be hung on a tree. All this was prophesied, and Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was pierced in his head with the thorns and hung on a tree. He was crucified. And he died. Do you believe those things about Jesus? He was buried. They put him in a tomb. I've been there. I've seen it. It's an amazing thing. You need to go. You need to go. They laid him in a tomb, rolled a stone over him, and for 3 days he was there. Now this next little section comes up and said, and he descended into hell. And that one, really, when I read that, I thought, did I read that right? Okay. But then I got to thinking about it. What does it mean? What is hell? It's the absence of God. It's a separation. It's out of fellowship with God. Okay? God, it's to be eternally separated from the Father is hell. Remember when I told you a while ago that from before the beginning, there was always God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Always was. At this very moment when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and He died. When He was on the cross paying the penalty for my sins and your sins, God cannot look upon sin. He does not approve of sin. He cannot have fellowship with sin. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Why would Jesus say such a thing? Because the first time in all of eternity, there was a separation within the Trinity. Jesus was alone. And that was hell. Separation from God the Father. The punishment that you and I deserved. In Matthew 26, verse 39, says this. This is when he's in the garden. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." The humanity in Jesus was crying out, "Lord, if there's any other way besides me going to the cross, can we do that one?" And God, it's not recorded, but Jesus said, "But if not, if there's no other way, your will be done. Your will be done." A little bit further down in verse 42, he kind of repeated it again. He said, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." I was reading. I was thinking about that and reading some stuff. And I wrote, made this little note. How many of you have ever had Maxwell House coffee? Good to the last drop, right? Jesus took the cup of suffering that belongs to you and me. And he drank it to the last drop. It wasn't good to the last drop. But nonetheless, he drank every drop so that there would not be a drop left for you and for me. Not a drop. Not a drop. The only time there was ever a separation in the Trinity was at that time on the cross. Jesus Christ separated Himself so that you and I would never have to be separated. You see, when Jesus, when the Apostles' Creed, when it says that He descended into hell, that's what I believe. That He put Himself in a position to be separated from the Father so that you and I would never have to be separated. Now, He didn't stay there. He didn't stay in that separation. There came a day. There came a really, really good day. But I'm going to save that for a later time. Well, that's next week. We got to get there. We got to get there. Just for a teaser, next week, on the third day, He rose again. See, it's going to be, you're going to think it's Easter time in here. We can celebrate Easter every Sunday, folks. We can celebrate Easter every Sunday. Do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe what the Scripture says? If not, it's where you have to start. It's where you have to start. No other so-called Savior of any other religion can claim this to be true for themselves. No other so-called Savior has so much foretold about their coming. No other so-called Savior fulfilled the prophecies. No other drank the cup from you. Drank the cup for you. The cup that was yours to drink. You realize that you don't have to be a murderer to be bound for hell. You don't have to be a murderer. You don't have to have committed adultery. You don't have to have stolen somebody's car, house, wife, whatever, pencil. Cheated on your taxes? Change a little number here and there? Dishonest about something you did at work? Dishonest with your spouse? Dishonest with your parents? All of that is the same penalty, folks. And it's capital punishment. But Jesus took it and said, "I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that because people are going to need it. And there's no other way. Lord, if there is another way, but if not, Thy will be done." There is no other way because there is no other. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Come. The Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. And the Lord is good, folks. I've tasted. I've seen it. I've got a craving. And I want more. And it's non-fattening. And it's healthy. It's energizing. It's a little addictive, but it's okay. You can get addicted to Jesus. Amen. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe what you believe? It's all found in Scripture. You'll find it there. But guess what? You're not going to know it unless you read it and find it true for yourselves. There's a lot of folks walking around that believe certain things because their mom and daddy told them to believe that. And so if you ask them, why do you believe that? Because mama said so. Well, that's a good boy or a good girl. But you need to find it out for yourself. It has to become your faith. You don't get to heaven riding on mom and daddy's coattails of their faith. It's got to become ours. And you don't know it unless you experience it. The way you experience that is through the Word of God. It tells you about the only Savior who could have ever saved you, and He did it. Amen. He did it. I'm not sure where you are today. I mean, I know you're in this room. Okay. Some of you may have checked out mentally. I don't know. But you're physically in this room. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not sure where you are spiritually today. I'm not sure if you're like me going, what a week. I know some of you are, because I've been with you throughout this week some. There are some that aren't even here that are still going, what a week. Some of you, like Emma, may be going, what a week! It has been a week. And God has been in the middle of it. I was talking with our prayer group this morning. Sometimes we have this attitude that we say, Lord, I can take it as long as I get something good out of it. I will confess to you that I'm the first one to say that. But how often am I willing to say, Lord, I can take it as long as somebody else gets something from it. And sometimes that's God's purpose for us in a situation. I'm going through this and it is hell on earth. But may it all be for God's glory, because He's got a plan. And He will work it out. And it will be good. I'd like to be for me, but if it's for somebody else, so be it. Maybe we have that attitude. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never come to the altar. Maybe you've never been baptized. And again, baptism doesn't save us. It's the first response that we should do as a Christian, being willing to be identified with Christ and being obedient to Him. Maybe you've never done that. If you haven't, we can arrange that. It's easy breezy. Wasn't hard at all, was it, Emma? See there? Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those that says, you know what? I can tell you what I believe. I just can't tell you why I believe what I believe. Except that mom and daddy told me to. But I feel this tug within me to find out for myself so I can be firmed up and made sure in my own faith. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I know all those things, and I've just kind of sidestepped over here for a while, and I've been wandering around doing my own thing for a while, but I know that I need to come back, and I want to do that today. Maybe that's you. Whatever reason, I want you to know that we're going to be here. My wife is going to come up with and stand with me. She's not the pastor, but she's my wife. So we're a team. We do stuff together. She's my helpmeet, and I help her. We're a team. So she's here. And if you want to come and pray with either one of us or both of us, we're here. One of our deacons, I'm not sure who that'll be, one of our deacons will be here with his wife. But you don't have to come to either any of us. If you want to just come straight to the altar is open. The altar is open from before we get here till after we leave. Right? Whatever your need is, this is your time. And let me just encourage you this. If you have felt the tug or the pull of the Holy Spirit on your heart today, don't put that off. Respond to that, and He will bless you. He will honor you for being faithful to hearing His voice. But don't be hearers only, but also be doers. So action is required. What say you? God has acted on your behalf. He has said, I'm going to do that sacrifice thing that person needs and can't do themselves. You see, the truth is, because the sacrifice that was required was a perfect sacrifice. You can't even give the sacrifice for your own sins. But Jesus Christ, perfection, fully God, fully man, made that sacrifice for you. Do you receive it? Do you accept it? Father in heaven, we come before you today. And Lord, there may be somebody in the room who needs to make a response to the call of the Spirit on their life. And I pray, Father, that person would not leave this building until they've done that. Father, we honor You. We say thank You for what You've done for us. We lift Your name up high. Father, You are God. There is no other. Help us to worship You and honor You. Help us to live our lives to You. Help us to, like Jesus, to submit to You and be willing to walk whatever is required. Father, call us and may we answer You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing.